Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me. Today on American Glutton Podcast, we have a returning guest, Tom Kier. Tom is a martial arts and combatives instructor, and I had the pleasure of playing a character based on him in the television show Chance. You can find Tom at Kier.Thomas on Instagram and check out his page for some of his beautiful custom knives. Welcome back to the American Glutton Podcast.
Great to be back. I listen to all the shows and they're very good. Very good podcast. I really appreciate being on too.
Trying definitely to do something to open it up for people, anybody struggling certainly with specific issues that I've overcome, but I'm far more interested in broadening that a little bit and talking to you. Like, I specifically would like to talk about Kill Your Clone again and revisit that. Maybe do a little bit more of a deep dive on that and then get into like some tenets on personal responsibility, which I think are important.
Absolutely. I mean, if we're looking to allow people or guide people towards being stronger, and when I say stronger, I mean, physically you can get stronger and that's great too, but just more control over their emotional self, more control over their mental faculties so that they can analyze and make good decisions, all of that will end up helping them overcome problems in their life, So all of that stuff is the foundation to helping people, is making them stronger. So, we spend a lot of time on those issues, obviously that's a big part of martial arts, but all that stuff, Kill Your Clone is obviously something which people can understand because it's a simple, a simple metaphor. But essentially, just to recap, it is the idea that if I can make incremental improvement, although very small, it will make. And if I can build on this incremental improvement, then
I had talked previously to Tuhan Raff about this, and he just said it's a good blade pass, and that to me meant so much because, as you know, but the people who listening might not, a lot goes into handing somebody a blade, right? You could think about it in terms of like you're in a fight and you need to get your partner a blade, and tossing it to them is not going to be super helpful, right? So there's literally a technology in passing the thing over. And just the idea that we can take these concepts, the Kill Your Clone concepts, and hand them off in an efficient manner to people, I think that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, traditionally in blade cultures, which every culture on the planet at one time was a blade culture. And that's why you see, so many symbols that involve blades, because the every military unit across the world, and they all have like blades on their logos and stuff like that. But, the blade was basically the first tool that allowed people to overcome significant differences in strength. It was the first thing, of course we had rocks and sticks and stuff that we could bludgeon animals with that had claws and fangs, but the blade was the first real equalizer. And by blade, I mean something that cut, it could be a spear point, it could be anything, but because of that, in our collective memory, the blade is kind of a symbol of that technology and the ability to survive. So that being said, when you pass a blade to someone. Of course, there's the functionality of passing a blade while in combat, as you were talking about. But also, there is a great amount of reverence when you hand someone a blade and you give someone a blade. You know, it's not something casual in our in the blade martial arts system. It is always comes with a certain reverence and a certain responsibility. So when you say blade pass, a lot of times, we term the blade pass the same as how do I teach my children something? How do I pass along information to them that's going to save their lives or make their lives better? You know, the blade pass is kind of the analogy for that. And so it's a very important thing, the blade pass. It's one generation to the next type of importance, but it's a big deal. We have something in PSYOP where we say, when you draw your blade, 10,000 hands draw it with you.
Yes.
Which is, the people who have come before us, our ancestors, our grandparents and our great grandparents, but not just our blood relatives, but also everyone who handed down some information to us or indirectly to us through other people. All of those make up the 10,000 hands, so that whatever struggle you're in your life, whatever obstacles you need to overcome, you're never really by yourself. You are there with the 10,000 hands, and they all are helping you as you move through life. If you listen, if you pay attention, and if you remember what they have taught you,
And this could be applied to anything, to combatives, to martial arts, to anything we learn. If you didn't get dropped off on an island as a baby and grow up by yourself, you're pretty much dealing with this in anything you do.
Yeah, and it's a very important, human concept, because humans are the ones that for the most part do this, right? The fact that we can hand down information that will save future generations from hardships that we had to learn to go through. And, it's a way for the ancestors to speak to us, through all of these things. And it's a very important thing to pass on as well. We all become one of the 10,000 hands at some point, because we're all teaching people that we love what they need to do in life to be strong. And we become one of the 10,000 hands in history. But, that is also immortality. Everyone talks about, the idea of an afterlife or heaven or immortality or whatever. It's all different in different religions. But the thing which can be absolutely seen as evident is you will live on forever as one of the 10,000 hands. The things that you do in this life will be echoed in the future. And, you're either going to do good things or bad things that get echoed in the future, but, you're handing down a lot of information, and, that's all very valuable. And that's the way that you will live on. All of us right now do things and believe things and have habits and have kind of tendencies in our life based on our parents or mentors that we had. And by the way, those mentors and your parents had mentors and parents and all the way back. So some trait or tendency that you have or something you feel strongly about, that may be an echo from the past, something that was taught and handed down and taught and handed down and taught and handed down, and maybe not even consciously, but unconsciously handed down. And that may be alive today in your actions and in your philosophy from someone that you didn't even know his name, hundreds of years in the past, So it's pretty interesting to remember the connection that we have throughout history. And human beings, of course, are unique in this as because of the way we can communicate and hand down information. So it's all connected,
Yeah. One thing you talk about a lot, and for me, it encapsulates my feelings so perfectly, and it's something I can strive for, is strength. And I don't just mean physical strength, like lifting weights. I mean also, strength to me is also a mental faculty. And I can very much wrap my head around the concepts of kill your clone in mental fortitude, in physical reps at something I'm training on. But both are a form of strength. And I don't even know if you waste your time thinking about these in societal terms, but I feel like there is a prevailing movement away from strength, almost in a way of like, you know, I don't want to say that it's okay to not be strong because you are whatever you are, but the idea that really, when I set my mind at something, I want to know what the external influences that I'm going to have to beat are, but really, I have to beat them. I can't. I can't talk them into not existing. That's not
correct.
You know, I have
the reality. Reality's going to be there. Yeah.
Right. At the end of the day, they're still there. So when I apply this to any part of my life and go like, I want to know, like, if we just simplify it and go like, what I'm going to do today is, I need to know how many calories are in different things. I need to know what has protein. I need to know this. I can't talk them out of being what they are. I then have to use my strength to utilize those things in the way that I want to use them. But I do,
absolutely,
I do find that there is a movement that takes the strength out of the individual and places it in the external thing. And gives that thing the power, which to me, I just wonder if you think about that at all.
I mean, my belief that we all seek strength, but the way in which we seek strength varies. So, you know, if you ask anyone, if you even take someone who is obviously, you know, a very weak person, and you say, would you like to be weak or would you like to be strong? There is nobody who says, I would like to be weak. Because, you know, as human beings, our ability for independent action and freedom is what we strive for. Now, the way we gain that ability for independent action is through, you know, the ability to affect the world around us in a way in which we can control certain things. And knowing what we can control and what we can't control is the beginning part of that. Because you can fight for control of something which you cannot control and waste a lot of energy and resources. But with that being said, the people who seem to kind of give up and almost have a victim mentality on things, they're really looking for strength still, but they're looking for someone else to give them, to help them, right? So They're saying, I'm a victim, or I can't do this, or, you know, they throw up their hands and they say, it's just too hard for me. They're basically saying, someone else help me, you know, is what they're saying. And so they're looking for strength, but they're looking for strength from another avenue, another resource. And the problem with that is if you can do it yourself, you don't have to rely on that other resource being available because it's not always going to be there. And, you know, when we gain or overcome certain obstacles in our life, we get stronger in other ways. So when we no longer ask for help from someone else, but we find the strength within ourselves to do it, we will overcome that obstacle if we focus on it, but in the process, we will also become stronger in other ways that we are not even calculating at the moment. And that's where you begin to grow and really become someone who can be happy in life, because you can control what's going on to a certain degree. You can make decisions. You can be free. You can choose your path in life. All these things are very rewarding, and it only happens when we work towards strength, you know. So it's worth overcoming the obstacles yourself. Now, there are some things which cannot be overcome without help, and we have to recognize those as well. We have to have a tribe, a group, to overcome something. So that the idea of asking other people for help is not wrong. It is absolutely necessary in some cases, but it once again has to be recognized, when is this something that I can overcome and become stronger, and when is it something that I need to ask for help? And that delineation, that recognition of those instances is what is really important, you know.
How do we determine that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we determine it through a lot of times the wisdom of the 10,000 hands, or the people who came before us, and, you know, advising people and saying, hey, you know, in your life, if you have a tribe and you have a group of people that you can count on for certain things, you know, a lot of times if they are also on the same path and have the same philosophy, they will give advice. And they will say, hey, this is something you need to overcome. Or they'll say, you know what, this is something that we can overcome together. And it may just be a conversation. You know, the help that you need, it may not be anything more than a conversation, or it may be a conversation where we say, you know, imagine that each midnight you fight your clone from 24 hours ago. And that may be enough for them to get past. So you give them the analogy of the kill your clone, and they do everything else themselves. You know, they just needed the ignition source. They needed something for them to focus on so they can put one foot in front of the other during that workout, during that day, and incrementally improve. And that's all they needed. But they needed that. If they didn't have someone to talk to about that, they may not spontaneously find the ignition that they need for that energy. But, you know, so, you know, I think it's going to be in tribe. It's going to be with your family, with your friends, with the people you love. You know, you have to commune with them. You know, there has to be like regular communication, and, you know, you have to be in touch with the 10,000 hands, you know, but it all ties into eventually, you know, even if someone else helps you do something, it is for you to get stronger. You know, it should always be for you to get stronger.
Yeah.
We should always work towards that and not work towards kind of the handout kind of methodology where I'm just looking to get as much as I can from everyone else so that I don't have to get stronger. And that is going backwards. That is an incorrect way of doing things, you know.
Or even looking for the kind of moral consensus of the group to change so that I don't have to.
Yeah, lowering the bar, you know.
And by the way, I only think that bar should be set by the individual. Like I don't think that the group should determine what the bar is.
Yeah, Not at all.
There are some circumstances where I could see, like, in my house, if I was not taking the trash out, then and I was like, no, I love living in filth, then my wife and kids could get together and go, listen, we have decided that we don't like living in filth. You're going to take the trash out, right? So that's right. Different. But when we're talking about personal goals, I prefer to figure out my personal goals for myself.
Everyone should. You should never, you know, here's the only thing the group should ever ask of is that you're constantly working on getting stronger. but your actual level where you are and what you're and your kind of your place on the ladder of strength, you know, as long as you're climbing the ladder of strength, I don't care what rung you're on. You know, you can be at the very bottom or you can be near the top, but no matter where you are, if you decide to go backwards or you decide to not move, that's not good. You know, that's not helping you and it's not helping anyone else. So, you know, but how much weight you have on the bar is up to you, you know. As long as you are moving forward and as long as you are looking to get stronger, then we are going to be in good shape, everyone, you know, everyone in the tribe.
Yeah, I mean, and this could be applied to anything, to knowledge, to study, to disciplines that you're training in.
Anything, in improving relationships with you and your wife and your children, improving relationships with your friends, improving businesses and relationships with business partners. You know, we should constantly be looking to kill our clone in all of these areas, in all of these situations, and constantly be climbing the ladder of strength together and encouraging each other to do that, you know? And sometimes encouragement is necessary. But how you choose to do it, as long as you're getting stronger, I don't care what you do. It doesn't matter to me. You know, everyone's got a different way of looking at the world, but everyone can universally agree that strength is better than weakness, you know? And, you know, as long as we're all getting stronger, however you choose and whatever area you choose, that's up to you, you know? Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, external standards that other people put for, like, you know, what you should be doing, like how much you should be lifting or running or how much money you should have or how big a house you should have or, you know, all that stuff is nonsense and it's a distraction.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. When you get into the physical goals, you know, specifically if we're talking about like these movements that I've recently, I didn't even know these really existed, but that would tell people to specifically not lose weight. I just go like, at the end of the day, I don't care if somebody loses weight or doesn't lose weight. I just want somebody to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Now, if your job is playing video games and you love that, or your job is, you know, pick anything today where you don't have to move your body a lot. There are a lot of jobs that don't require a lot of movement. You know, you could be a truck driver. You don't, you know, it doesn't require you to be super physical. Does it, if it's not hindering your life, then it really shouldn't matter, in my opinion. And you could be getting stronger in other places.
That's right. The thing is, sometimes people they need some advice or some wisdom. Like they're unhappy and they're unhappy because they're overweight or they're out of shape or something like that. And it's very difficult for them to be consistent with whether or not they want to lose weight, you know? So as long as they understand second and third order effects of being heavy or not being in shape, like, They need to understand it. But once they understand it, they're like, hey, I understand that. Okay, that's it. Then I mean, it's your decision. The question is always, if they are unhappy and they come and they say, look, I'm really unhappy. My life is not what I want it to be. And you go through with them, hey, here's all the things that you have power over that you can change. There are some things in your life that are very difficult to change. There are some things in life that can't be changed, and there are some things that are easy to change. And, you know, if we just make a list of all those things and we say, hey, if you change these, your life will be significantly different. You know, it may be a conversation like that where before the conversation, they were perfectly fine not losing weight. But then they go through it and they go, yeah, you know, that's probably that may be a core issue as to why I'm not happy. Okay. You know, but it should never be dictated to them. I think it should be if they don't recognize the links of everything, how everything's connected, help them recognize that and then let them make their own decision, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's become dangerous. Not even dangerous, but I think there are definitely sects of people who would say, like, even suggesting that something like that could increase happiness is not okay or is irresponsible. You know, I just think, I mean, at the end of the day, anything, you know, unless you choose to do something that you are specifically genetically gifted to do, and you kind of have this miraculous life where everything lines up, even then, it requires work and it requires effort. And all of that is in line with getting stronger.
Yeah. And the people that you see who apparently have, kind of a blessed life, if you were actually in the intricacies of that life, you would realize they have other issues, other problems, you know, and it's just not apparent when you look at them.
Right.
You know?
This is like the grass is always greener kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think everyone should, you know, we talk about, you know, the multitude of egos that each individual has, you know, everyone is a multitude of eyes, what we say eyes as in myself, I. Well, we're not one ego. We're not one I. You know, I am made up of, I'm a brother, a son, a father, a husband. You know, I'm a martial artist. I do many different things, and I would identify myself as those things, as those individual egos at different times in my life. And they can argue with each other. You know, my egos can have conflicts where, you know, and that's why, you know, and if you read Gurdjieff, you know, he talks about this in his philosophy, but you know what it is we have conflicts between egos and or what he calls the eyes, the multitude of eyes, and one eye wants to lose weight and the other eye wants to eat donuts, and you know there's times where either one may win, but it's not consistent, you know. I think Gurdjieff uses the example of one eye wants to wake up early in the morning and get a start on the day. But when you're laying in bed the next morning, a different eye wants to stay in bed and keep sleeping, you know. And that is why we see so much inconsistency in people, you know, where people say, hey, I want to lose weight, and then they don't. Well, they really do want to lose weight. A certain part of them absolutely wants to. And then a certain part of them is just like, you know what? It's not worth it, you know? And I want to eat whatever I want to eat. And that's how I enjoy my life, you know? So the question is, which one of these eyes do we reinforce? Do we help become stronger to the point where that eye is able to dominate the other smaller eyes, the ones that are not as strong? And then you become consistent in your life, and you start to do what you say you're going to do. But I don't think that either one has to win. I think that you have to make a decision though at some point, you know, or else it's just the roller coaster forever and ever, you know. Which makes people unhappy. Inconsistency in their own life makes them unhappy.
And it's using things like Kill Your Clone that can kind of keep you focused on the decision made the day before, or whenever it was made, and to ignore the other egos.
Yeah, it's a mechanism in order to strengthen that I, which is I want to be stronger every day. You know, we have ways of strengthening that ego and helping it become the dominant ego. And you know, people say, hey, one step at a time. You know, the AA guys do the, you know, one day at a time. You know, everyone has some way, and multiple ways, obviously, of strengthening the ego. They want to be more consistent. And, you know, we are a multitude of eyes. And we have to figure out which one of these eyes is going to have the plan that overall makes my life better and gives me more strength and allows me to be happier in general, because we all seek happiness as well. But there is short-term happiness, and then there's happiness across a lifetime. And, you know, often we go for the short-term happiness, and the net gain is not happiness over the lifetime, but sadness. And that is something we need to understand as well, you know. You know, there's a lot of things you can do very short term that make you happy or make you feel good that end up loading on a lot of sadness for a much longer duration of time in your life. So,
yeah, I think that this is in line with goals. And anytime I set myself a goal and then achieve it, yep, I experience happiness. And when I set myself a goal and then allow myself to be talked out of it, it's very, very rare that what I choose to do instead of the initial goal gives me that same sense of fulfillment. Very rare.
Right. So the serotonin dump and all the other chemicals that come along with, you know, a sense of fulfillment and happiness and joy and all that stuff, you know, we're constantly looking for those. And in the chemical process of our brain. And, you know, you can get a quick one, and you know you can get it by doing something. And, but you still will get it, although it'll take a little longer, but it will last longer, is the, in certain ways. Like, and usually the long-term goals, they're a little bit harder to accomplish, but the payoff is greater as well.
Yeah. You know? And plus you wind up with whatever you set out to achieve. So it's almost a two for one in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. There's byproducts. And that's what we talked about earlier with the, you know, if you overcome this obstacle and go the hard route, maybe, and overcome the obstacle, you will beat the obstacle, which is a payoff, but you also will get strong in other ways that are just a byproduct of the struggle to begin with. And they will pay off also. And that's the thing that has to be understood cognitively or through a sense of, you know, really wisdom that allows you to push through and allows you to kill your clone each day. And, you know, we need people who we love in our lives, our tribe, to help us move along. And we need mechanisms to remind ourselves of what is our focus and what's important, because it's very easy to get distracted. You know, it's very easy to get lured away for that quick fix, you know, of something else.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I see these movements, and I see, like, maybe the beginning is determine for yourself what is true, and then it kind of evolves into any movement in this direction is bad now. Just be happy with yourself now. And kind of making a determination in a direction is bad, because then it alienates anyone who's in the position that you were in prior to whenever you go off on that journey towards some goal. And I just wonder what the impetus is for anyone to try and kind of move somebody off a path. You know what I mean? Like, for me,
yeah.
I go,
yeah,
I like ice cream. You want to come and tell me how bad ice cream is? I go, like, yeah, I know I can't eat ice cream every day, but, like, I still like it. And kind of nothing anybody says about it is going to make me think that is going to change my feeling about it. You know, I have to exercise self-control, but I still like it at the end of the day. And but then when it becomes something about our identity, we open it up to the group and go like, well, you guys can determine this for me. You know what I mean? Versus it's just living within me. Whatever I determine, that's what it is. A guy goes on Instagram and tells me I'm still fat. That has no effect on me one way or the other. Now, I suppose if 10,000 people did it, I would start to be like, wow, that's pretty weird. I don't feel fat right now. You know what I mean? If it was society telling me I was fat, maybe that would be weird. But at the same time, I would try to get beyond what I knew to be true for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we have to have a certain amount of confidence or trust in our own understanding of the world. Now, we collectively, or, you know, we have a collection of people who we do trust also to have a different set of eyes, but we handpick those people. To have too much stock in what other people who I have not vetted and I do not understand their motivation, I don't put too much, I don't give too much value to what they say. And I think that that most people in our society, for some reason, give a lot of energy and a lot of value to what people say about them or to them without any other corroborating, you know, information. I think that we care too much what other people think, you know. And I think that is probably a road to unhappiness because, you know, giving people free rent in your head, is not good. You know, people need to pay to have a say in things, you know, and they pay through good deeds, through consistency, through logic, through wisdom. You know that these people love you and care about you. And, you know, through all those different things, you know that, hey, this is someone I'm going to listen to. I respect this person. But you have to be able to shut off the caring about what anyone says. You know, the thing is, we're used to growing up and listening to our parents and listening to people who are around us and actually do care about us. And for the most part, and then we just extend that caring people as we grow up, like, you know, with no boundaries, like no partition, and that's a horrible idea, and that will lead to unhappiness. The most unhappy people I know are people who care about what everyone says to them. It's not going to be consistent, so of course they're getting pulled in every different direction. And, you know, it's always something that I've said, I don't give a shit what they think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I really don't, you know, sometimes it is bravado, but people do care. But I can honestly say I have very, very little care about that. So, my happiness is not affected by it, you know? But there are people that I care very strongly about. And as much as I don't care about kind of the unknowns in the world, the people that I know and respect, and I mean, you're one of them, I really care about what they say, you know, and I put a lot of stock in it. So, you know, I think that we should have that rather than everyone's kind of equally loved, you know, I that's not the way I am at all. There are some people that I love to a great extent and I respect to a great extent. And then everyone else, I don't. And it's a very black and white type type thing, you know? And that's part of being consistent as an individual. You know, you can't get pulled off in 1,000 different directions. I don't have 1,000 people I care about, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it sounds maybe cold or uncaring, but to me, to think that that you care about everyone is really uncaring as well, you know, because there's no way you can care about everyone.
Yeah. In that sense, it's like the opinion, you know. I also think in this day and age with the internet, the kind of consensus and opinions shift so rapidly that it's like,
yeah, very fast. Yeah.
I find like, what are my ideas that I'm not going to allow to get shifted by just a bunch of people who I don't know saying something on a message board, like that has nothing to do with my life at all.
You don't even know why they're saying. I mean, they have motivations that are also unknown.
Right. So. I look to people who have done things that I respect, who can continue to do things that I respect, and I attempt to glean motivation from them in pursuit of my own goals. That's kind of my whole, that's it. That's my whole game. And like, and by the way, I have sat down with and cracked a book as Kill Your Clone, as, you know, how am I going to better myself today? I'm going to do some reading and use my mind and do some thinking. And that has been just as powerful.
I've listened to your podcast. And walked away and said, you know what? I just killed my clone right here. Just listening to your podcast.
Yeah. I've had that with podcasts too. I've had conversations. Yeah. I've been able to have conversations with guys like you and go, I'm better for that. And I've done what I needed to do. And, you know, I will slaughter my clone at midnight tonight.
Yes. And, you know, there are so many different avenues in which make us who we are. And, you know, I have improved myself in a lot of ways, depending on what I'm working on at the time. You know, it could be auto maintenance. You know, I mean, I could be working on getting my truck, an old truck I have, running, or it could be, you know, cooking a dinner that I've never cooked before. So like I'm trying a new recipe and I'm trying to learn how to do, you know, different techniques in the kitchen or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, it can be in any area, you know, and that self-improvement is what we want, you know, and that's the goal of it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem too radical to me. Like it doesn't seem, outlandish, you know?
Right. And, you know, understanding like, you know, are we prepared for the next adventure, the next mission, the next thing that we need to get ready for? You know, it's better if you have some idea of where you're going and so that you can plan kind of, you know, how do I make myself ready for this next thing. So the clones that you kill are the clones that are moving you towards a goal that you have, you know. And you know, it could be you want to deadlift more than anyone else in the world, or it could be I want to lose 15 pounds, you know.
Right.
It could be I want to have the best quarter earnings in my company that I've had in the last 5 years, or I want to, you know, whatever it is, you if you have the goal, then you can start assessing what makes me ready for this next obstacle that I need to overcome, you know. And of course, we get into readiness and stuff like that. What makes readiness and all that, but you know, the kill your clone is the is kind of that, what have I done today to get me towards that goal, whatever that goal is, you know? And it can be in general, just getting stronger, or it could be towards a specific thing, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about readiness.
Yeah. Yeah, readiness. So, you know, I don't know if we talked about readiness before. I know you and I have talked about readiness many times, but, you know, when we say readiness in PSYOP, we mean part of the readiness triangle. You know, there are three parts to the triangle, three sides to the triangle. And these are the areas which let you know if you're ready, and it can be ready for anything. It doesn't have to be physical conflict or a war or anything like that, although it could be used in that way. And we do when we talk to soldiers, we talk about this with them. But readiness can be for anyone. It can be for the mom at home with her kids, and it can be for the guy going to work in his office. You know, readiness is the three components that comprise readiness are awareness, willingness, and preparedness. And those are the three things. There's not a fourth thing. There's three things that encompass readiness, and every single person on the planet can assess their personal readiness, usually in relationship to some goal or obstacle or challenge that they're going to overcome. But they can always assess their own readiness by looking at these three elements, and that's awareness, willingness, and preparedness. And, you know, we always start off with awareness, and we say, like, awareness is my knowledge, you know, my information that I have, you know, like you who are you know, when you got ready to say, okay, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. You know, the first thing you do is you start the discovery phase, the awareness development. So that's information about nutrition, about exercise, and you're looking at becoming as aware as possible of all the different factors that you need to have knowledge on in those areas to become successful. So awareness is the first stage of readiness. And it can be situational awareness of what's going on me around, what's going on around me at a given time. It can be data that's pulled in from any source and analyzed through the lenses that you have already. It can be information, communication, all that development is developing awareness. Awareness is also being honest with yourself about what's happening around you and what has happened in the past. You know, awareness of the past is a very important aspect, because if we remember the past differently because of emotional bias, then our overall awareness is lessened. You know, we remember things the way we want to remember them rather than the way they actually were. And that's a certain awareness that keeps you from learning from the past. But there's many aspects to awareness. But moving on, we then have willingness. And willingness...
Can we go back one second? I have a question for you. Being a martial arts and combatives instructor... And right. Again, I would then use this analogy broadly over many fields, but I would ask, how often do you see the coming to awareness happening retroactively? So something has happened and you then are going to take a look at certain aspects of your life. So specifically with combatives and martial arts, Do you see more of people opening their eyes one day and going, oh, there are some situations in my life which I need to take more responsibility for? Or do you see more of like, hey, we had these problems we hadn't thought about, and now we need to, now that we've encountered these problems, we're aware of them.
Yeah.
Like, do you see that those two things happen differently in different ratios?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing is we have, when we talk about all these different areas, or the three different areas of readiness, these things are all going on simultaneously and throughout the entire mission or throughout the entire, but constantly during our life. So there's readiness when we kind of first understand what our new mission is or what our goals are. But then as we go down the road and try to meet those goals, our awareness is constantly running all the time. And we make reassessments. We have a feedback loop of reality, which feeds back into our awareness and kind of updates, constantly updates the computer for the newest firmware, the newest information. And so there's a lot of things where we're kind of reevaluating and we're kind of reassessing, and maybe even we're kind of understanding information that we had that we knew we were wrong on, or we knew they were unknown unknowns, or they were known unknowns, and then we've kind of find them out as we move along. So I think that you know, the awareness is constantly working, and of course, you know, is getting bombarded from, you know, things I thought I knew to things I know better now. And then new questions are formed from that. So my awareness is now querying reality or querying information sources in the world that I wasn't even asking those questions a week ago, you know?
Right.
Because I didn't even know to ask those questions. Or, hey, I thought it was this, but now I see I was wrong about that. And now, because I was wrong about it, what needs to change? So, you know, that it's a great question. I think the key is, because it's constantly happening all the time and constantly being processed, and being fed from the other areas of readiness, you know, when we get into preparedness, you know, preparedness is my physical preparations, you know, it's the kind of building of the muscle. It's the building of skill set. It's the putting together of plans and organizing groups if they need to be organized to accomplish certain tasks. Well, as I'm doing all that preparation, things are found out that drive different awareness questions. So we begin to go back to awareness and, well, not really go back because it's happening all the time, but we become conscious of making changes to our awareness and our knowledge base and our you know, the wisdom that we have in any given situation. So, you know, they are constantly happening all the time, and they are changing, you know, because of that, you know, and willingness as well. All of these are connected, you know, they're not separate.
Right.
And one strengthens the other. And so when we talk about getting ready for something in our life, you know, we're working all these. We don't do one and then move on to the next and then move on to the next. All three of these are happening all the time. And our ability to assess these three things separately, even though they're connected to each other and happening all the time, the ability to put names on them and definitions allow us to assess our readiness as a whole. And because if we don't put names on things, if we don't measure these things, it will never get done. You know, if you can't measure something, it's very hard to get it done. You need to find ways to measure things. And it doesn't mean measuring it with a ruler or a scale per se, but some way of tracking where you are in the progress, you know. So you know, that's measuring that thing. And the only things that get done in this world really are things that can get measured, you know? So,
I mean, you have no, there's no metric for improvement if we can't compare it.
Right.
It's got to be comparable.
It's like made up improvement, you know, like I feel like I've improved. Well, how do you know? I just feel like I have, you know. It's like, yeah, it's not, you don't know if you have. Let me just tell you that right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this was a big deal. Honestly, this was a big deal on the place I saw this. Really, really blatantly was just in writing down my lifts and
yeah.
You know, actually going like, what am I doing? I'm not,
right.
You know, I thought I was getting so much better, but really it actually requires effort in a direction and a little bit of time with administrative work with this kind of thing. Even if you can keep the figures in your head, you gotta have them to base the new figures off of.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And it's an important thing. If people have never kind of learned to be organized in that way, it'll be very hard for them to accomplish certain things. It's like, this would be one of the prerequisites for accomplishing certain types of things would be to have these scribe skill sets, you know, the ability to keep track and to calculate and to, you know, measure what's going on, you know, so important. But that's all part of your awareness, you know. So your awareness is taking these notes and doing this administrative work, because when you want to see, well, where am I in this goal on along the lines of this goal, you know, you go back to your notes or whatever it is. Well, that's what makes you aware of your progress. So awareness is this administrative work is part of awareness, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the awareness is key. And then we have willingness, you know, and willingness is the next area of readiness. And willingness is asking yourself the questions of, you know, is this what I really want to do? And why do I want to do it? And what are the consequences of doing it or not doing it? You know, these are finding out your level of willingness. And you may, you know, the when I explain willingness to people, often they have this idea that being more willing to do something is better. And being more willing is not better. Willingness, in as far as readiness goes, is understanding your level of willingness. It's not being more willing, or certainly not less willing. It is just recognizing consciously what is your willingness. Because, you know, if your willingness is unknown to you, you're going to make decisions that you're not going to follow through with, and then you're going to be disappointed, and then you're going to second guess yourself. And we want to find out where your level of willingness is before we get to that point in life. In other words, you know, in combat, it is, will you pull the trigger when you need to pull the trigger? Or will you have second thoughts about it? Or will you have thoughts of the consequences of pulling the trigger and then hesitate and not pull the trigger? And then someone pulls the trigger on you because of it. Or there's either hesitation or regret, or you get to the point where you're going to pull the trigger and you pull the trigger but you haven't thought about your willingness and you wish that you didn't pull the trigger. And now you're living with the consequences of what you've done. And so we say, if your willingness is not understood, you're going to have either hesitation at a crucial point, or you're going to have regret because you did something that you, after further contemplation, you realize you didn't want to do.
Have you seen that awareness as awareness increases, willingness can increase too. And I'm thinking mostly specifically, right? Because if I go like,
I only have this much
willingness, and what does that get me? And when I see that it doesn't necessarily get me what I want, I have at times gone, okay, well, I'm willing to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. And your awareness and willingness work together, just like your preparedness, awareness, and willingness work together. All three of these things affect each other, and they will, there's a feedback loop between all of them. So as my willingness becomes more understood by me, like what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do, I'm better at making decisions. I'm clear, and I also feel better. In other words, there's less of the unknown in myself, and less hesitation and less regret. And that's all very important for mental health. But you know, once you have your willingness worked out, you can move ahead and get things done, you know. And you should have it worked out, though. I mean, and constantly be asking yourself willingness questions, constantly being assessing it, and understanding your awareness tells you, hey, in order for me to meet this goal, whatever it is in life, I'm going to have to do this, this, and this. Am I willing to do those things? You know, I remember watching Eddie Hall, who had the deadlifting world record, and he's a strong man, but he held the world record for the deadlift at 500 kilos.
He's the British dude.
And he's a British guy. And I remember him talking about, hey, what does it take to pull 500 kilos off the ground in a deadlift? Like, what do you have to do to your body? What do you have to do in your social life, in your family life? You know, what do you have to do? You know, so he had a goal, and then he had to understand, well, what will it take to meet this goal? And is this, like, physically, you can kill yourself doing some of this stuff, you know? You can damage relationships in your life. You can do all kinds. You can go broke doing this. You know, it costs a lot of money to be the world's strongest man or that kind of thing. So, you know, as far as training, time, and money, and all that stuff. So, you know, he had to, like, first assess all that. And then, am I willing to do this? And if the answer is yes, and you've thought about every possible complication and variance of this, everything that you can think about, that your awareness can all the questions that your awareness can pose to you. And then you say to yourself, am I willing to do this? You know, when I talk to guys who are going overseas, I mean, they're Navy SEALs, they're Army Special Forces. And, you know, they have to say, like, look, do you understand all the things that are going to happen to you potentially going into combat? And are you willing to do that? And if you get into this situation, are you willing to do this? And what are you not willing to do? Because that's just as important of understanding of what you're not willing to do. And you don't have to be a Navy SEAL or the world record holder in deadlifts to have the same kind of questions in your life. Like, hey, I want to accomplish this in business, or I want to have this in my life, and whatever it is in your life. Well, do you know all the things it takes to get that? And are you willing to do the things that is necessary for you to accomplish that goal? You know, it doesn't have to be something extreme. It could be anything in life. And, you know, if you don't understand all of the things that you need to overcome, and you don't know your level of willingness, you're constantly going to say you want to do something, and then you're going to get to a point where you have to do something. You're like, well, I'm not doing this. Like, fuck this. Well, yeah, but you just spent all this time getting here. You didn't think about that beforehand, that you were going to have to do X, Y, or Z. Like, now you've wasted all this time, you know, towards a goal that you can never accomplish because you're not willing to do it, you know? And if you would have known it ahead of time, you wouldn't have to do that, you know? The willingness is a very crucial thing when it comes to being ready to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And then the last thing is preparedness. You know, preparedness is the meat and potatoes, you know, it's going to the gym. It's doing the thing. It's the blood, sweat, and tears of the readiness. And, you know, you have to be able to put in the time, and you have to schedule the time to do it, you know, and you have to do all that stuff. And you're not ready unless you have your preparedness stuff down. If you're, you know, they say, or we say, you know, there's no time to sharpen your knife in the middle of a knife fight. you need to bring it to the fight, already sharp, you know? So that's preparedness. Like you need to sharpen your knife. You need to do what you need to do. You need to have the skills. There's plenty of people who are in life and death situations, and they wish that they had skills to get out of the situation, but you can't develop those skills now. If you haven't spent the last few years developing those skills, and you get confronted in that dark alley or wherever it is, you're not going to just make it up. You know, you're not going to just will yourself out of this. You know, your willingness can be whatever it wants right now, but you weren't willing or didn't understand the level of preparedness that was going to be needed for you to be ready. So you have to be aware, you have to be willing, and you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
And if you can meet all three of those, you can say you're ready. You know,
this is the spot where I had many hiccups. I try to talk to my children about this, and I've had conversations with people about preparedness and the importance of preparedness. For me, many things in my life, I would often go, I'm going to start Monday, or I'm going to start tomorrow, or whatever it is, and do nothing to prepare for tomorrow or prepare for Monday, and then arrive at Monday and realize, if I'm actually going to start, I'm not really starting. Now I'm just preparing to start. And if I arrive at the day where I planned on starting without preparing and am confronted with the fact that I can't start because I still have to go backwards and do the precursor steps of preparing, I kind of will or had tended to give up or just go, well,
because you're not.
I'm not ready. I'm not willing now because I was willing to start, but I didn't prepare, and now I'm not willing. And so,
right. Well, your awareness tells you, you know what? I actually start as soon as I decide I'm going to. It's not Monday. If I've said right now I'm going to do this, then it starts this exact moment. This exact moment I begin. You know,
right?
And that's the key, because if you wait for like some point in the future, you're going to find a whole bunch of things that you should have done in preparation for this, you know? It's a very interesting kind of thing that can be, like you're saying, it can really sap your energy, you know?
Yeah, and the knife fight is a great analogy. However, I know that that's what you're training for real. It's a great analogy because that's life or death. So there isn't a lot of wiggle room there. If you're in a knife fight, it's probably life or death, right? So the idea that you're in a knife fight that you're not prepared for, that's a real bummer.
Yes.
You know?
It's a horrible situation to be in.
Horrible. Yeah. I cannot think of many worse situations than that. And if you look at all the different aspects, you know, like I talk to my kids about homework, and it's like, do you have homework? Yeah, I think so. You think so? So how do you not know if you have homework? Like, let's actually figure this out and figure out what materials you need to do them and like, get ready. I'm not saying sit down and do it right now, but you think so is not a great answer, you know?
Yeah, I've had the same conversation with my kids, and I'm always confused when they say, I think so. I'm like, what do you mean? You think so? Or how would you know? What's the process for going about knowing?
Right.
And then come back to me. Go do that and then come back to me with if you have homework or not.
Yeah. Let's get an answer to this question and then move on with our day.
Yeah. We'll plan what we need to do then.
And that can be with anything, a job, applying for a job, starting a new hobby, any of it requires these kind of things, you know, anything goal oriented. And a knife fight's a great analogy, man, because I'll tell you, I've never been in a knife fight, but my goal will always be to win if I'm in a knife fight.
That's right. You've been on knife fights on TV though.
Yes, I have.
And you've done well, so
yeah,
that's a step.
That's at least one step towards preparedness.
I mean, you know, because of the consequences of situations, you know, it's good for us to kind of look at things where if this was really serious, what would we do? And then ask ourselves, well, why is this not serious? Like, if it's something to do with your job or, you know, doing homework. You know, well, if it was serious, you'd do it. Yeah. Well, what tells you that this is not serious, you know? And some people might say the consequences, but if we run it out, the consequences are the same, you know? It's just that you die slower, you know? So it's like, you know, if you're not successful in your life, what's the difference between that and being dead? I mean, to me, it's like, You might as well be dead. I mean, if you're unsuccessful in life, what are you here for? You know.
Yeah, but I think it's important. The metrics of success, as you said earlier, have nothing to do with wealth and material stuff. It's literally just achieving goals.
They're your own.
Yeah.
Success should always be dictated by you. But there are people who say, I'm not as successful as I want to be. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about it, you know? So it's still up to them. They're the one who's saying they're not as successful as they'd like to be. And, some people say they're unsuccessful, like just as a complete negative. And, I would say then, well, let's start analyzing. Let's just sit down and start doing our awareness. And then we'll talk about willingness. And are you willing to do what it takes to be successful, as we have talked about in the our awareness and our discovery phase? And then, okay, what's your action? What's your action step right now? Give me one preparedness step that you're going to do. You're going to action today that's going to get you towards where you want to go, you know? And when you start to break it down through awareness, willingness, and preparedness, they have something they can get their teeth into. They have something they can measure. They have something they can assess, and they can say, I've either done that or I haven't done it, you know? And so, you know, that's the way you get to accomplish what you want to accomplish in life, you know?
And by the way, I would posit that any sitting for a moment and contemplating seriously any of these things would be killing your clone.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Because every one of those things that you check off, no matter how small, is a step towards becoming stronger and becoming better and removing that obstacle from your life or that challenge and being successful according to your own rules, your own guidelines of success, you know? You know, that's, absolutely. You know, each one of those steps is killing your clone. And, you know, you can do it in the gym. You can do it in the boardroom. You can do it in sitting down at your desk doing your homework. You can kill your clone. And as long as you are stronger than you were before, and it could be anything. I mean, you could say every month on the, you know, at this date every month, I have my clone that I need to kill. You could kill your clone every minute if you wanted to, you know, but, you know, it's you find out what it is for you. What is the increment, the time increment that you need to feel like you have accomplished a step forward. You know, depending on what you're doing, you know, it's different, you know.
100%. Like with AA, take it a day at a time. That time increment is arbitrary. It can be,
yes,
it can be moment to moment that you just have to get through to,
that's right,
to make it through that moment of whatever you're dealing with. Or, you know, you got a bunch of time sober and it could be, you know, like something that you just go like, I'm going to make it through this month. I think it's a very similar thing of when thinking. And by the way, I think there are different versions of your clone that you could look at. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Graduating high school. That's a multi-year process. That's you're killing your clone doing that. You know.
That's right. That's right. Because I mean, and there are so many areas of our life that we want to succeed in. And of course, you can overdo that, but realistically, that's not usually the mistake people make. You know, they usually underdo things. There's a lot of different clones that need to be addressed. You know.
Yeah, I really like the day to day thing personally because it gives me a target for the day, and sometimes it is really really small, like. As you talked about, it could be 1/1,000th of a percent, and you still you're still doing it. So for me, I do like the day to day thing. But when I think about larger obstacles or larger goals, each one of those little daily things is getting me to that bigger thing.
That's right, and you know because it's a sleep cycle, it gives you. You know, because it's a sleep cycle, it's a natural cadence for us to look at our life, each day. It could be whatever works for you, you know. And I know guys who've talked about going through very, very hard stuff when they were in selection processes for the military units that I trained. You know, you're constantly talking to guys about you know what they've accomplished, what they've gone through, and sometimes they talk about one step at a time. You know, like, hey, just another step forward. I'm on a 40-mile walk, and it's just putting one foot in front of the other and not stopping. You know,
right?
So they're going like step by step. You know, and that may work because of what they're doing. You know, yeah.
Tom, this has been amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to have to do it again at some point, but this has been awesome. I think I love these because I think for the most part, we talk about and I talk about different ways, different people have done things, but this kind of mindset stuff is really, really, I think resonates with people strongly, you know, and I think it gives people actual tools to use to apply in any way they want.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, brother. I'll talk to you soon. And now I'll answer some questions that we received at AmericanGlutton.net. Lawrence writes, my question is about helping to remove your man boobs and the best workout supplements or diet to help with this, in your opinion. Thanks for the question, Lawrence. The only thing that pops to my mind is like bench press and variations of pec exercises. So, you know, flat bench, incline bench, decline bench, dumbbells. You could do dumbbells in any of those positions. You could do flies, dumbbell flies, cable flies, push-ups. I don't know about diet or supplements for this. I've actually only heard that if you take supplements in the wrong way, you can actually increase man boobs. I don't know. I don't really know a lot about that. So I think, like, as far as fat goes, I think we pretty much, it's very hard to do targeted. I mean, I actually don't know if it's possible to do targeted fat loss, but if you want to build shape to your chest, those are the exercises I would do, and just do that in conjunction with losing fat. I mean, I look at my boobs and I think they actually look like giant boobs. I have a pretty big chest. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about, or getting rid of or making them look less soft. And that I would only suggest doing pec exercises with weights. Thank you for the question. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast, please submit it to AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.